This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 244. This episode was previously recorded. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Clark gets intimate, Bigby runs with the wolves, and a Downton parody are all in our graphic novel review. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, February 10th, 2013. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, and you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. We are recording this in advance because we have some commitments when this is going to air. We decided we were going to read three original graphic novels and just discuss those because, again, those are kind of evergreens. It's not based on a trade or a reprint.
Except you only read two of them.
That's true. Superman Earth 1 Volume 2 by Straczynski and Davis. This is list price $22.99. However, it's $13.64 on Amazon or $12.64 if you get it on your Kindle. So DC continues this reimagining of their main heroes. I don't know if they're going to take this past Superman and Batman. I think that was certainly the original plan, but DC rarely follows through on this type of thing. It's a little more cinematic and a lot more adult. The volume one had to cover his origin story and his first big adventure. This new book is more of a smaller story, a little more personal, of course, as personal as you can be when you have a superhero involved. But it does ask the big question, what should Superman allow himself to do? He has these powers. What should he allow himself to do? Clark gets his first apartment and apparently a new girl, and this becomes
very... But she's still an LL.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it has to be. This becomes very intimate. And there's this foreign crisis where he goes in and saves the day, and then he's ordered to leave the country by this tyrant. There's a crook who breaks into a lab. He ends up becoming the new parasite. And the army decides to get involved. Don't want to get too much into the storyline because, again, it's a one-shot. You can go out and get it.
It had all of the elements a Superman story should have.
Right.
But it was with a very different viewpoint,
than you've seen before. I have to say I enjoyed this one more than the first volume because it was this smaller story. It harkened back to the early Golden Age stories where Superman is fighting for social justice, but there are some sci-fi elements thrown in. But again, the big question is, should he get to decide what is right? Because people are clearly scared of him. You know, this is not the Silver Age hero, Superman, where he gets weekly parades and Superman days.
So as I was reading this, I thought maybe this is going to be more like what the Man of Steel movie is like than like the comic book. That, you know, they're all talking about, is the movie going to be a darker Superman and all this? This isn't really a darker Superman, but it does address some of these questions that I think they'll have to address in a modern Superman movie.
Right, because with these godlike powers, he could fix things that are otherwise unfixable. But should he be allowed to do those things? Should he be allowed to intercede on behalf of the human race?
Is he the one that gets to make those decisions?
Exactly.
Yes.
So as we've said previously, this really should have been the new 52 reboot of Superman.
Really? I agree.
The artwork is very impressive, and JMS always writes a good human story. You really get this nice narrative and a lot of background.
But he's really much better with the graphic novel format than with the weekly format or the monthly format.
Right. When he gets to write the whole thing from beginning to end in one shot than trying to do it episodically. Fables, Werewolves of the Heartland by Willingham, Hamilton, and Fern. This was also $22.99 list. It's $15.63 on Amazon or $14.85 on Kindle. This is based, of course, on the long-running Vertigo series. You will get more out of it if you've read the Fable series, but you don't really need to have read it to enjoy this.
I suppose you could use this as sort of a starting off point, as an introduction to Fables. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the backstory is quickly explained and you know what's going on. It's kind of small town meets cult meets World War II meets Twilight is how I would describe it. It's definitely an adult book.
There is lots of nudity in this book.
Yes, there is. It's inspired, at least very loosely, by a real town in Iowa. Not the storyline so much, but just the backdrop.
The town itself is Storybrook, which is a town. No, not Storybook. Story City?
Story City.
Storybrook is the one in
Once Upon a Time.
Once Upon a Time, yeah. Story City.
So Bigby Wolf is, as you might expect, the main character in this. And an old friendship catches up with him, and he has to make things right. The artwork is, I would say, photorealistic and yet very graphic. As you said, there's nudity, there's blood. Willingham knows these characters inside and out. This could have easily been a storyline, if maybe not for so much the nudity, in the main Fables title, or even a miniseries that they could have done. But I think it is definitely more satisfying as a novel. So the question I have, and we've mentioned this in recent episodes, is if Vertigo stops monthly issues, as it seems more and more likely is going to happen, is this what Fables will become, just a series of OGNs?
Well, see, and what I'm thinking is, was this entirely possibly first the idea meant to be a miniseries, and then with the things, the trending that had been going on at Vertigo, they said, well, let's float it as an OGN, and then if it works, maybe we can do even more of that instead of doing the miniseries.
Right. And that would give Willingham and Buckingham more time to get these things all worked out, because it must be a huge grind to continue doing the monthly, not only Fables, but they're also involved with Ferris, and that's a lot of work to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But if they went to OGNs like this, I might be okay with that.
I definitely would be.
Right. It would be nice maybe put it on paperback instead of hardback. Make
well,
it a little
eventually
cheaper.
It would come out
right, if you're
in
willing
a
to
soft
wait.
Cover if you wanted to wait.
Right. Agent Gates and the Secret Adventures of Devonton Abbey by Supijid, I think that's how you pronounce it, and Hilton.
It's a $14.99
listing. $14.99 listing, $10.19 on Amazon, $7.99 on Kindle.
And free for me.
Yeah.
I won this in a contest, and I probably wouldn't even have ever known about it without that.
Right.
So.
And at this point, I'll step out for a moment because I didn't actually read this one.
Yeah, it's very clearly based on the first series of Downton Abbey, and it's marketed as a parody of Downton Abbey. But it is only the first series. So if you're a Downton Abbey fan and you haven't seen the second series yet, this wouldn't spoil anything for you.
Oh, that's good.
It is a weird mixture of the soap opera of the series with steampunk and a spy story and magic. It's very weird, but good. The downstairs part of Downton Abbey, the servants, many of them are members of a secret intelligence service for the British government. The Dowager Countess is sort of their contact.
Ah.
She's the one that works directly with the government. And they use Downton or Devonton Abbey as a base of operations for certain things. And the downstairs people are much smarter than the upstairs people in this instance. The artwork is just so spot on with the characters and the characterizations of everyone, even Agent Gates, who's Mr. Bates, of course, with being a spy, is still Mr. Bates. It's very clear. I thought it was very, very cute. I may not have bought it. I'm not sure. But I'm very curious if my Downton-addicted non-comic friends will like it. So I'm going to pass it around to them and then get some response. I would recommend it for those of you who like Downton Abbey, because it's very cute.
Now, I don't personally don't watch Downton Abbey, so would I get anything out of this?
You might. I mean, because there is a nice spy story involved. You wouldn't get the little inside things like knowing that this Agent Gates has a sort of magical artificial leg. And the real Mr. Bates in the thing had his leg injured in the Boer War. And it's a big thing that he can't be a valet with an injured leg. So.
Okay.
It's very interesting. I'm going to make you read it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It won't take you very long.
Okay.
It's all black and white, too, which I think I kind of like in some things.
And that's generally what you see in the independent stuff. There's very little color interior work because it's so expensive to do color artwork to print that. All right. Sorry, there's no Who's on the Cover this week because of the fact that we're taping this in advance. Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including my Star Trek DS9 reviews. You can subscribe via iTunes and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.